The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 525. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, we're back with a diminished crew tonight. Chris said he's going to join us. He said he'll be here 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, that was 10 minutes ago. so we'll see what happens. Adam may show up. Carlos is in the old world, so he's not going to be on. Brett's still recovering, and Brian, who knows what's going on with Brian. Kind of interesting, because I was actually playing Monster Hunter with Brian earlier today, so, and he didn't say he wasn't going to be on, but, you know, the time difference is, like, a little weird right now, because they're, like, 4 hours ahead of us instead of the usual five, and then they're going to get hit with their own daylight savings time in about a week. So that should be interesting. You know, but we are here. We're here to keep entertain. And before we even start, I have to give a huge ultra shout out to Mr. J Shep. He saved this episode, people, because for some reason nobody asked questions. It's a Sunday show. Yeah, there you go. Nobody asked questions for whatever reason, but he saved the show. I was gonna ask, like, I was literally gonna come in here and just ask you guys what you think about this whole Ubisoft situation, then call it a wrap after 30 minutes. You know, but J Shep saved the show, so that's good. So we'll get into it. And again, Chris will probably show up. So if he shows up a little late, I'll just re-ask him the questions. So we keep the show going, and hopefully Adam will show up, and I'll re-ask him the questions too. He's doing the Reach Around show right now. So, you know, kind of interesting how he keeps picking the same dates as Throwdown. It's like, you know when we record, right? Kind of interesting. Carlos mentioned this, like, Adam went from, I can't do podcasts anymore, to doing all the podcasts. Kind of interesting. Oh, there he is. Perfect. Yep. Mr. C.
Hey, it's Chris.
All right. Okay. So it's probably going to be just the four of us tonight, Chris. Adam may or may not show up. He's doing the research show. Yeah. And again, shout out to J Shep. He saved the episode. All right. Let's get into it. The crew, or most of the crew, has been having a blast with Monster Hunter Wilds. This is factually correct. What would you change about the game, if anything? Very interesting.
Oh, the how much shit you can the how much controls and shit there are in that game. That thing is, like, you know, granted you can, you know, set it up the way you want to, but there's just a lot of shit. And you don't there's multiple, like the menu is all weirdly designed. Like, okay, you have two sections where save shows up. You have two sections where, like, it, like, there needs to be more consistency and simplicity with it. Yeah, I feel like there's just a lot of, like, just finding the things that you need.
Yeah. Can you give examples?
Well, the stupid, you know, having the little tents. You got to go through all these other menus in order to find them. The save menu is just, like, on two different things. There's two different locations where your monster manual updates. It shows two little updates on there. It should all just be in a lot more simplified as far as design. Because obviously, you know, you can add the different little quick things on there, but there's just a lot of controls to that game. Same issue I had with the original, with Monster Hunter World. It's just a lot to put in there. And I feel like they're pressured to put those things in there because they were available in the previous one, as opposed to finding a better solution.
Yeah. I think the better term might be not controls. It's more, it's a cluttered UI, which, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
the menus and the menus are cluttered. It's just, there's multiple ways to do the exact same thing. You know, it should just be a lot more streamlined than what it currently
is. Yeah. No, that's a good one. I was going to, leading on to that, I was going to say, you know, getting together with your friends is very difficult because of that. the cluttered UI. You know, it's like you have to go through all this stuff. It's like that's the one thing that Western games actually do better than Japanese games. You know, getting together with friends online, with your specific friends, it's easy in a Western game, generally speaking. But in this game, it's like Dark Souls games as well. It's like, bro, you got to go through so much. But that's not really my main thing. My main thing is actually just what everybody else is pretty much complaining about. I wish the monsters were harder. But thankfully, they are going to probably alleviate that with the newer, the title updates are going to, I'm pretty sure the new monsters that are going to come are going to be challenging, because like right now, the only monsters that are really challenging are Zoshia, a fight you cannot do over again, by the way, unless like one of your buddies is like doing it at the moment, or you know, some random person's doing it. You cannot manually do the Zoshia fight, which is stupid because that fight is amazing and it's generally tough. You know, if you guys were watching the Monster Hunter streams, we got killed in one hit. Three, you know, because you get three chances, but if three of you guys get killed instantly, that's it. It was great. It's like I want more of that. And then there's another fight, and it's called like the Hollow Grounds or something. It's like an arena. You have to fight off against these two fire monkeys. It's fucking great because you're just locked in this little arena with these crazy monsters and stuff. I just wish there was more of that. And there's a couple other things I'll mention too, but yeah, those are main. So I wanted this game to be more challenging, but thankfully that's probably going to be alleviated. What about you, Chris? What are some things you would change?
Yeah, I'd say it's a little too easy. I think all this time I've only been carded once.
Yeah.
Ever. And I remember at World, man, like even Anjanath carded me. I think I lost that fight immediately. I had to get help. So they put in, they kind of overdid it. They put in so much quality of life changes. But then they also scaled the monsters down a little bit to make it more accessible. Maybe they took too many complaints that, oh, this game's too hard. Or maybe people are dropping off after this fight. Like you said, the Anjanath statistics dropped off. So they're like, okay, we'll just make everything scale easy, right? It's more accessible. But the problem is all the hardcore guys are like, this is way too easy. This is ridiculous. Like, and then on top of that, like, oh, your mount just takes you where you need to go. And, you know, you never, healing is a lot easier and all this stuff. Like, it's tuned a little too much for XP versus giving you the challenge, that, you know?
Yeah.
So they have to figure out that balance. Maybe a DLC will fix it. I understand they could just, new monsters could give you that challenge, right? But they're going to have to tune something. There'll be an Iceborne for Wilds, I assume.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably fix it there.
Yeah, and just to your point, this is anecdotal, but like, for example, our friend Gary, he's playing this game. He's not really a Monster Hunter guy, and that's his main complaint, that the game's too easy. And Gary's not a Monster Hunter guy, so it's not just, oh, if you're a veteran, you know, you're going to do well. It's like, no, if you're just a gamer, you're going to do well, you know?
I tell you something, too. I've gone full offensive. Like, I took after you, and I started using the Greatsword.
Yeah.
I only got carded using the Gun Lance, which is ironic because it has a freaking shield, right?
Yeah.
And I went full offensive. I went Hammerman. I went with, now I have a great sword. And you can block with the great sword, but I'm going ham with that thing. And I haven't lost one fight.
Yeah.
You know, and the great sword, I think, is the best version ever. Like, you can.
Oh,
like,
it's great.
Counter guys, you can parry them, all this stuff. It's fantastic. I don't remember being able to do that stuff before, but it's great.
Yeah, and so, the focus mode makes it really easy to not whiff stuff, because that was one of the problems with the Greatsword. You whiff a lot of stuff when you're locked into that animation, but in focus mode, you can just shift the camera around, so it doesn't matter. You could literally like hit something like on the left and switch it and then hit it on the right, you know?
Yeah.
You could not do shit like that. So that's kind of stuff I like. Chris, another example with Carlos, like we were streaming the other day, and he was just using low rank armor the entire time, didn't realize it, and he wasn't carding or anything, you know?
Yeah.
But again, I'm pretty sure the expansions and DLC will fix that. And Rich, what about you? What's anything you would change about Monster Hunter Wilds?
Well, apparently it sounds like the difficulty is going to be the general consensus. I must admit, I have not had a chance to go back to Monster Hunter Wilds since I finished my review, because I have been preoccupied with a whole bunch of other games. But I could understand the complaint of the difficulty. The only thing is, you know, this was my first time playing the game. And I did have a few issues with some of the monsters.
For example, Tony's boy, Dagamasha.
Yeah, Doshogoba. Yep.
I definitely got carded on that one because it was a lot of chaos. You know, he was getting into fights with other monsters and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I was a little bit too eager to try to take him down. So, yeah, I did get carded at least twice. But after that, I didn't have too many issues. But, yeah, I think it's more about if you are a skilled person and if you are a veteran to the series, you probably already know how you're supposed to play this game. So coming in as a new player, I had to definitely learn different ways, different techniques and strategies and which weapons were more effective. So, but I definitely can understand the argument for those of you that are veterans, say this is too easy. I understand. And I would say they possibly need to change that as soon as possible. Now, the question I have for you, Tony, is are they planning to change this with this update? Because they have some update that's coming out in April. A couple of different things they mentioned that they're going to be bringing in April. So is that going to be the update that provides more challenges? I know about the tempered creatures, but is it anything else that people can look forward to?
Okay, so no, it's not. It's just going to introduce new monsters. Here's, just to make it clear, I don't want them to go back and fix the current game. I think it's fine because this thing has sold almost 10 million copies by now. Don't fuck it up, but make the next stuff more challenging.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with that.
Yeah, don't what you have now, leave it alone. It's fine. Because people are still having fun with this game, regardless. You know, don't change that. It's selling very well, but with subsequent updates, especially whatever this thing's Iceborne is going to be, that's when you go ham, you know? But right now, let's bring people in, you know? But yeah, so yeah, Rich, because that's true. I was just checking out your review real quick. You gave it a 5 out of 5, so you really had no complaints even from when you were playing it, you know?
Oh, no. This is by far, it's in the game of the year discussion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the story, the characters, I didn't really have any real complaints, and I didn't have any technical issues. You know, obviously, when I did start to connect with people, then, yeah, I could understand how sometimes that could be a hit or a miss based on the connection. And like you guys have said, it's a bit hard to connect. But one thing I will say is when we got review access to this game, they did provide us with a Discord that we can communicate and meet up with others that are playing the game if we wanted to. So I used some of that. But I didn't have any issues. But, no, I thought the game was fantastic. But I will say this. I have heard from countless individuals, all right, that Split Fiction, that is another game that's going to be in the Game of the Year discussion. So we'll see about that in the future because I haven't played that game yet. I just heard that game they're doing stuff in that game that is a lot very impressive. So I need to see what they're talking
about. Yeah, I think Adam's playing it, isn't he?
I think he was playing it, but, you know, because of the timing, it came out like a day right after WWE 2K. No. So he's, we've been busy in that game as well. So that's why I say a lot of games.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. There's a couple other things I would fix about Monster Hunter. I want, and again, all my complaints could be addressed in future updates. Like the other one is like, and Manny, I think you kind of agree with this. I want some layered armor. I don't like a lot of the armor in this game. You know,
so yeah, I don't only
layered armor. I want layered weapons too, because in this game, like the end game weapons are called Ardian weapons. I hate them. They look ugly. They're just ugly pieces of green metal. Like I want the stats, but I don't like the ugly shit, you know? So I want layered weapons and layered armor because I don't like what we have right now.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, I got something that was bearable and you got if you're looking at the featured image, you probably see what it is. It's, you know, the Rathalos armor, which is sort of like a redo of the old Rathalos armor from years ago. It's not the one from Worlds. Worlds has a different Rathalos armor than this one, but, so it's like the classic armor and then it's like a hood, but yeah, I don't like most of the armor in the game.
Yeah. Here's the thing. A lot of this is why I specifically picked a female character because their armor looks better. Because I had the same problem with World. Like I didn't like the armor in that game either for the males. You know,
I found some good ones, but like you know ones that just sort of like I sort of mixed and matched things and got a nice look out of it. But I got a few of them. I'm just like I don't know. I just like. I think it's because of a lot of the weird, the general wide direction that it goes. So you can go from looking like an, well, this game seems to be more, very much more medieval, right? So, but they have like a plague doctor outfit.
Yeah.
And then they have like a samurai outfit. Like it's like really, they don't feel like they fit in the same realm as your starter set, which I felt like a lot of worlds sort of did a bit better job of it, where it's like, yeah, they have the flying ships, they have those, all those things, but the general armor sets sort of feel like they feel like jumping off points of whatever their main, you know, uniforms are.
Yeah.
And that's my, that was my issue with this one. I'm like, okay, so, you know, you could look like, you know, you can kind of look like the Dread Pirate Roberts, right? You know, look like a pirate. That seems to be the theming of at least the main character. He's sort of piratey feeling with buckled shoes and shit like that. And then you have, you know, then you have like this, this other direction, like looking like a caveman.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my characters, cause I have two main ones. She looks like a barbarian. I like it. It looks cool. You know, like it looks like something straight out of like Conan the Barbarian movies or something, you know,
there's one suit that looks like Asura, the flame god from like, Japan, you know, the one that has that pose that like, Asura's Wrath is based off.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, that is a Capcom game too. So are you talking about Asura from the game or the legend?
The legend. More. Okay. Yeah, he like looks like that, where it almost looks like Akuma too, where it's got like these sculpted flames behind him, and you can just like change, like he wears like a mask. It looks like you're just like a man made out of like steel or something like that, like a statue, like of come to life.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's one of the flame monsters that gives you that.
Yeah, probably the fire monkey. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good stuff there. Next question here. Why do developers have difficulty taking advantage of the PS5 Pro but have no problem creating games for the PS5 and Xbox Series X? No, they have problems with those systems too, you know? Here's the thing. You got to understand something. For the first like half of this generation so far, it was very easy to make games for those systems because they were just last gen games. It's very easy to make them 4K 60 or whatever, you know, especially 60. But as soon as we started getting games only made for this generation, then you started having problems. So it's not a PS5 Pro problem. It's just a problem in general you were having, you know?
Yeah. Well, then also the other portion of it is specific implementation,
mm-hmm.
you know, like having to do that, like because it's not using the general market DLSS and all that other stuff, they have to do something different specifically for this console, you know?
Yeah, so you're right about that.
That's all, you know, I don't know how PSSR works, but it definitely is different than DLSS. You can see it. So I'm sure that's one of the things. And then also it's like, a lot of this implementation is also not, I would also say it's a not a problem, but it's also a thing. It's like a lot of these games are just not like whatever this leap forward in fidelity or whatever with giant big quote marks on it, it's not really that big of a deal. Like you want to run games the way they should. Okay, I guess get the Pro, but that's not like, it's not like a leap. It's not like anything better. You're still having to deal with the same issues as you would on the base one.
When I started testing out the Pro, I was very frustrated. Remember, they specifically said, you'll no longer have to choose between fidelity and performance mode. You're getting them both. What the fuck was the first thing I saw when I dived into the menus? Performance Pro and Fidelity Pro. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Manny, you were there when we brought that thing home. You know, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, it's the same old bullshit. So, like, why not, like, I don't know. It's like, can't we just get, can't there just be the normal fidelity mode from whatever the PlayStation of normal was with essentially a boost, a frame rate boost and the resolution boost?
Yeah, you know?
Like, can it just do that? Like, just be do, instead of this thing that's this one that's trying to hit an arbitrary even higher number, just give us a thing that we're literally just has 60 and you know, and the frame rate and the fidelity both at once with the ray tracing garbage.
Yeah, give me give me what the PS5 is doing. You don't need to give me what the PS5 Pro is doing, you know?
Yeah, give Yeah, give me whatever the PS5 does, you know, with the ray trace and the fidelity, and then the frame rate. That works, right? Like, what? Why do we need to go like, oh, we're gonna go hit this arbitrary higher number?
Yeah, it's stupid. It's annoying. Chris, you have any thoughts on this? And like I was telling the fellas before this, Chris, I was like, since there's only four of us, just be more let's be more talkative than usual tonight. Yeah. You know.
Well, my thought is that they're having difficulty ramping up to their pro is that this PSSR stuff is new. There's new libraries for it, so they have to figure out how to leverage all that stuff. When anytime anything changes in a development kit, there's ramp up time, there's testing. That may be where the difference is, how to leverage that stuff, especially if you're porting a game or you're going to try to upscale it or whatever. You're going to be like, okay, they're offering this thing. We don't know how it works, so we're going to have to figure it out. And you kind of try to integrate it. You probably run into it. There's always integration. I would think where the headaches are and why developers are just easing into it. This is not just an overclocked PS5. If that's what it was, then it would be very easy to adopt it, right?
Yeah.
Everything would just run faster. But no, you could listen to Mark Cerny's talk. They just added all these new features. And with all those things, and especially new hardware, they added new libraries. And then with new libraries, you have to adjust how things work. And they also might have depreciated stuff from the PS5, which is difficult to do because you still have to support every single game in the library. And then you have to be very delicate about like all your development libraries have to have some parity, but then you have additional stuff for the pro, and then not make sure if you should change any that you're not breaking any old titles, right? Because that would be, you know, that you screwed up immediately if you so I think that's where the
good answer there. Yeah, I don't know, this thing seems like even more useless than the PS4 Pro. At least the PS4 Pro is very evident what the difference was, you know? But this one is like, not really seeing it. So yeah, Rich, do you have any thoughts on this?
I do have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Let me start by saying this. Man, listen. Listen. listen.
Shout out to Reggie.
our very own Weapon X. This is the guy that was supposed to get a PS5 Pro for Monster Hunter Wilds. I ain't heard nothing about him getting that Pro. So, let me just say this. When they announced the Pro, I know that it looked attractive. Obviously, as you guys have said, as we've mentioned on the podcast, the 30th anniversary edition is the one that people were like, oh, yeah, I definitely would pick that up. They didn't care too much for the regular Pro. And I was wondering the whole time, what the hell are they going to do to sell the Pro to somebody like me? You know, is there going to be any particular game coming out that's going to take advantage of this? And then when I saw the presentation and Mark Cerny talking about all these games that have already come out on PS5, this is how we are enhancing them for you guys to check out. I was not impressed. So I'm not necessarily surprised that, you know, devs have not really been able to support it as much. I also think that the devs might be focused on getting ready for the next console, and that is why they haven't really been focused too heavily on trying to figure out how can we enhance this for PS5 Pro. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. Obviously, we all know that Death Stranding 2, I'm pretty sure that's going to be enhanced. And of course, Ghosts of Yote. But outside of that, I don't know. And I definitely haven't heard too many third-party games that take advantage of the Pro. There are some, right? But I haven't heard of every game taking advantage of it. I'm not too surprised.
Yeah. Disappointing, man. yeah, shout out to Reggie, man. He was playing some Monster Hunter with us, you know? He's a character even when you're playing online. It's funny, man. You know, like, you know, we were doing one hunt. Like, we were hunting a Rathalos. You're like, oh, hold up. I got to change my armor gear. You know, I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter. You're going to win. And then during the middle of a fight, he's like, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm like, dude, you're overthinking this shit. Just hit the monster.
This was the one that came off.
Oh, this is great.
I think we were fighting, and I'm like, man, I'm trying to find this light pod, you know, so that I can make this katana, this light stone. I'm like, okay, where do I find it? And he's like, oh, during the fight, he's like trying to look it up on the internet. I'm like,
yeah.
You're like, yo, just play the game and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I was like, Reggie, concentrate on the fight.
Go to the fight. And then after that, fight's over, he's like telling, like, he's like, okay, you know, I was just looking for the best spots to mine this stupid ore, you know, because in each location there's a higher chance of getting a specific type, right? So if you're on the plains, you get an earth stone. When you're in the ice place, you get another something else. So I'm like, what's the best place to get it? And then he's like, oh no, you know, you just put this armor on, and then you're like, what?
Yeah.
What? And come to find out, right? At the part that I'm at, there's a little alcove that's right next to the, you know, I can't remember where it's called. Whatever that area that I'm in, right? There's bones, and then there's a little alcove where you can mine, right? Lo and behold, right there near the front of the entrance, I got what I needed.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, literally, Reggie was like, "Oh, hold up, you got to make up a specific suit, got to do this," and I was like, "Reggie, that's too much," you know?
Yeah. It's like, why do I got to do I
stopped,
all this?
Yeah, I stopped, and I'm like, "Reggie, stop! That's too much." The guy's just asking you where to find a fucking crystal, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, he's looking up at this wiki, and obviously the wiki's not giving him the information that he needs. It's like, so it's like. Like the nope, I guess so. Whoever's written the wiki doesn't get that if you are in, and I figured this out on my own. If you're on a, if you're in a different location, there's a better chance of a stone that correlates to that location showing up. So that area where the ice is, or whatever that one hidden location later on in the game, that area has a lot of the lightning stone, and that's part of the reason why Homegirl is telling me, "Oh, hey, this is a good thing to upgrade to."
Yeah,
because I'm in a location where it seems to be a better chance of it.
Yeah, and you already found it, but because I was playing today, and just like you said, literally, you know that one part. No spoilers, but Manny, you called it the futuristic place. Literally go outside, go down the ramp, right there. They're literally right there, you know?
Yeah.
I was finding them like crazy. I didn't have to go any fucking Wikipedia. I just opened up the map, found a spot, and that was it, you know? But yeah. Reggie, the way he's playing it, whenever he hunts a monster, he puts on a specific, like, armor set. When he goes, like, you know, to gather materials, he puts on a specific suit. I'm like, okay, if that gives you more enjoyment, cool. But you don't need to do all that. I made a one-purpose fucking suit for everything. That's it, you know? Like, you don't need to go crazy like that. And if you run out, and you can mine as much as you want. You're never going to run out of room, you know? Like, it's not like when you know, when you pick up, like, herbs and shit, that does take up space. And, you know, you're going to have to eventually go back and drop it off. But ore, you could pick that shit up all day, every day. You don't need a special suit for ore. You know? Yeah, I know some motherfucker coming here. Oh, but you could wear this suit that raises the chances. It doesn't fucking matter, dude. It doesn't fucking matter. Literally, you know?
Every single time I went over to that location, I got that same thing.
It's always there.
So,
it's always there.
Oh, you know? it's just in that locale there's a better chance of it. My guess is that it has a chance of showing up in the other mining locations, but it's not as prevalent as the one that goes to that location. So, like, if you're on the plains, you'll get earth stone, right? If you're in this other place, you get the electrical stone. If you're in the fireplace, you get fire stones.
Yep.
So makes sense. Because I was looking in the fireplace. I was like, oh, I was picking up, you know, doing mine there. I didn't find what I was looking for. I was just getting fire stones. So I'm like, okay. This looks like the way this works is if you're in the corresponding place, you'll get it. So what's the place that does this? What's the place that increases the chances of this thing showing up?
Yeah. Jay Shep. Oh, by the way, again, Jay Shep, now you're here. Thank you for all the questions. You literally saved the show. But he asked us, have we encountered Japanese players? Absolutely. You know? But here's the thing. When we're playing Monster Hunter World, the Japanese players seemed more kind of, for the lack of a better term, more like awe-inspiring to us because they knew all the tricks. But now we are the Japanese players, bruh. You know, I'm teaching them how to do shit, you know? It's crazy. Some of these, I'm going to say this about some of the new Monster Hunter people. They're very bloodthirsty people, you know? Like, my guys, this thing's about to die. Let's capture it. They're just hacking, you know? Yeah, Chris, you noticed that, right? And then, and then when you beat the monster, no one's saying good job. It's just nothing. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you guys? Like, in Monster Hunter World, bro, any little action you do, like, yeah, good job, you know? Yeah. But I think
maybe because they can't fucking find the goddamn button to do that shit.
It's funny,
they didn't
man.
Set the damn thing up.
Yeah, no, it's actually right there, communication, you know? But yeah, anyway, good stuff there. Oh, we got a couple of Nintendo Switch questions. Will the Nintendo Switch 2 sell as many or more units as the Switch 1? Chris, you could start this off. What do you predict, or what do you think?
I don't know. It's like I said, it's a different playing field before, but it's going to depend on Nintendo and the software they're going to offer. And you know they're going to lock some down and make it exclusive. And Rich made a comment that I dare you to make Metroid Prime 4 exclusive. And I would not put that past them at all.
I wouldn't
put that. No, there's no way. Like, that game has been promised since 2017. Reggie was still at Nintendo, showed that logo for that game, and it still hasn't come. And if they just now show stuff and they go, oh, only for whatever, Switch 2 or whatever they call it. If they just say that, right, I would not be. It would be a dick thing to do, right? But I would not put it past them at all. Because they want to push people to this. So is it going to sell more? I don't know. I'm going to say my science point to no, but I don't want to make any prediction.
Yeah, you and I have a bad track record.
Yeah. So I'm going to just like abstain there. I just don't feel it well, but that's just a feeling. I have no idea.
Yeah, my take is, depends on how many. It depends on how Sony PlayStation does handheld correctly. I don't think it's two different audiences. But I'll say this is what I want to say. I obviously can't answer either. I have no idea. But the Switch 2 definitely has a good running start thanks to the success of the Switch, right? So there's that. But at the same time, and we talked about this on the last show, if whatever they show on April 2nd doesn't blow people away, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, why am I upgrading? I'm not seeing anything special here. You know, and then with parents, like, why am I getting this thing for my kid? This thing costs $500. So it has an advantage in that case. It's like the goodwill of the Switch 1. It has a disadvantage with the price, because that's not family friendly anymore, you know? So it's hard to say. Me and Chris are obviously not going to make any prediction about Nintendo. We're still eating crow on that one, you know? I don't know. What do you think, Manny?
As if people are going to...
No, if the Switch 2 is going to outsell Switch 1.
I don't know. I agree with you. It depends on what they have to offer for it. You know, if you don't have that, we've said this before, and this is with that PlayStation 5 Pro. Where's the killer app?
Yeah.
Where's the thing that supposedly takes advantage of this new platform or this new console that you're putting out in the world? If you don't have that, if you don't have a point man on this situation... multiples of that, I think it's just going to do, and you're just offering, hey, we're just going to give you a marginal upgrade to all the games that you already own. It's not going to do amazing. It's just going to do whatever numbers until something comes along that really does take advantage of it.
Yeah. What do you think, Rich?
I do have a prediction. Well, first, to answer the question, I don't think it's going to outsell the Switch, at least not in the beginning. I mean, I think moving forward, it can, depending on how Nintendo supports it. But I do have a prediction. I believe that there is a fan of the show. His name is Romudef. I predict that he will be reviewing this console, and I can't wait to hear his opinion on this particular console.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing his review as well. Should be interesting. But yeah, it's difficult to say, but... Yeah, Nintendo, they need to bring it hard, bro, on that April 2nd. Like, something that appeases, you know, their fan base. Their fan base is kind of enough, you know. Like, they're not going to get guys like, you know, me in there, to be honest, you know. But if they make Triforce happy, should be good, you know. So, yeah, we'll see. I know you probably wanted a better answer, Jay Shep, but we don't know, bro. It's hard to say. All right, another Switch question. Will the Switch 2 have the same... type of cartridges, same size? I'm gonna say yes, but Chris, if you know anything, let me know.
Wait, what? Sorry, I missed that.
Are the Switch 2 cartridges going to be the same size as Switch 1 cartridges?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think they'll be the same form factor because it, they said it's backwards compatible. Like the games, your current Switch library, that was their words, right?
Yeah.
Play on the Switch 2. So that means they have to have the same form factor cartridge. Either that or they're going to have two different slots, right?
Yeah.
You have to support what exists, and then if they change it, then you have to support whatever the hell they replace it with, which would be weird. I would think just to save money, they would just use the same form factor. And maybe the memory in the Switch 2 games, the whatever is in the card, a higher density, so it has more space. But it's going to fit the same, you know, just like they did the DS and the 3DS, same form factor. I think they'll do that over.
Yeah, that's what I think, too, because, again, it is backwards compatible. So they're going to fuck that up, you know. But like you said, they may be able to fit more into it. But like the physical size will be the same. My question is, how will it taste?
Oh, man, they put that. I hope they stop that. Yeah. I never understood that. You think people are going to eat these cartridges? Oh, kids might eat. Nobody was doing that. When we were growing up, anybody stick a cartridge in their mouth? It was like, oh, this looks delicious. You know, this piece of plastic here.
Yeah, for sure. Syrian Air Force says that Monster Hunter Wilds will be on Switch too. No, it won't. That shit is not on last-gen consoles. It ain't going to be on Switch. But what I predict is there will be a Monster Hunter game for Switch. Absolutely, because Rise sold very well. And they want a quote-unquote portable Monster Hunter. So you will get that eventually, which will eventually also come to PC and consoles as well, you know? But Monster Hunter Wilds, I think, could barely run on some PCs, bro. You think it's running on Switch 2? No way, you know? They're going to make a dedicated handheld Monster Hunter, just like they always do. All right, another one here. The Death Stranding 2 Collector's Edition is $229. What are your thoughts? Manny, I'm going to you first.
It's because of the statue.
Yeah, no, I mean, what do you think of it? Like, what do you think of what it contains?
It contains a statue in the game.
Yeah, so no opinion then?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No opinion on it. I mean, it's a statue in the game and a bunch of extras. I mean, is the price, does this, the price seem exorbitant to me?
Yeah. What do you think of the price?
I mean, if anything, I mean, the previous one was a pretty penny too, when you got the BB pod and the case and all that stuff. So it seems about on track with it. And whoever they're Kojima seems to be touting the fact that they got a specific sculptor to design it and all that stuff. So, you know, it's probably going to be a pretty significant statue. I don't think it's going to be made of plastic or anything like that. So, yeah, is what it is. If you think it's worth it, I mean, it comes with a bunch of patches and all kinds of other digital download things. If you think it's worth it, you go pick it up.
Yeah. A Syrian Air Force, it looks like it's a digital download. You don't get the physical game with this, which is kind of typical for collector's editions.
It comes with the steelbook case, though.
Yeah, it does that. It says full game digital download. That's what it says there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I'm looking at it now. Yeah, there's that statue. There's the steel. I'm guessing that steel thing is for the actual statue itself. And then a bunch of digital in-game items. Some art cards and a letter from Hideo Kojima, you know, and 15-inch statue of Magellan Man. So that's what you get. And a patch, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah, they give you two patches, it looks like.
Yeah.
They give you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't get collector's editions, so I don't really care, to be honest. It looks cool, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I haven't bought collector's editions in a very long time because they just take up space, you know. No physical game for that price is BS. I agree, but it's the trend, unfortunately. It's always how it is.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that it doesn't come with the actual game. Then you got to spend an extra $70 on the game if you want to have a physical copy of the game.
Yeah, kind of bullshit, but that's how it is, man. That's not anything new, you know?
One thing, though, is doing it that way does, and this is a logistics thing, it does allow them to essentially not have to worry about manufacturing anything specifically for it. Because usually the way those things work is that it's one company that's sort of, you know, getting all the different parts. right? So it's like, okay, they're getting the statue from this place, they're getting the... So in this situation, what it looks like, it's like, instead of having to, you know, essentially collect all these things together to put this case, this collection together, they're like, all right, you know what? We're just going to give you the statue and whatever the other physical things are.
Yeah. So. By the way, I'll just do a quick rundown here. Full game digital download, 48-hour early access to the game, collector's box, 15-inch Magellan Man statue, 3-inch Doll Man figurine, art cards, a letter from Hideo Kojima, and a bunch of in-game items. I'm not going to read all that. But yeah, so there you go. If you're, you know, a Death Stranding fan, you know, go ahead. Chris, you have any thoughts on this? Have you seen it?
Oh, the collector's edition?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. $229, though, that's smoking crack rock. I don't know. What is in there? Like, Hideo Kojima comes to your house and, like, plays a game with you? Like, can you do co-op with him? Like,
there are one six figures that cost that amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, $229.
Yeah, that's what it really is. Yeah. By the way, Chris, I put a link in the document if you want to check
it out.
Let
me check this out.
Yeah. Manny, that's a good point. It's like, if you were to buy that figurine on its own, it probably would have been about that much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're getting a figure that's like about,
You're really paying for that. You're really paying for that statue, guys.
If you're getting something like Miles Morales, I'm showing right here, this is a Hot Toys figure, and that's a lot more than what they're charging.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to subsidize that. There's other stuff that comes in this collector's edition that would be nice to have, like a personalized letter from him, art cards, all that stuff. Is there an in-between version? Because it seems like that would be appreciated to get some of the other stuff, or even an art book. Like this statue, if you really love this Magellan Man thing, then you go to Hot Toys or whatever and put down $229 for it, you know, if you really want it. I think this is too much.
It's sort of like I don't remember what the BB Pod version of the game cost, but it was a pretty penny too. And that one, they did eventually offer it on its own. Like but they had more additions, it seemed like, with that with the first one.
Do a tier without that thing.
You could get like a steel book, and then you could get like you get the steel book and then a bunch of other little bit of extras, or you could get the BB Pod version. This one, it just seems like there's only one edition that you can get.
Yeah. Rich, you got any thoughts on this collector's edition?
Yeah, I did take a look at this. I don't know who on the panel or on the throwdown or even those who commenting and watch the throwdown is going to purchase this, but more power to you. like you guys said, this is the norm, so we understand that. But and I did see it does come with a letter from Kojima. I have no idea what that letter is about. The early access, which is like a 2-day period, and that's also on, I think, the digital deluxe edition. That really ain't enough for anybody, or at least me. I'm not paying all that money just to get access to the game 2 days earlier. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
But hey, if some people are going to buy it, I assume those who really love Death Stranding 1 and they want to revisit the world, they will pick this up. But I'm not 100% sold on that. And I was surprised to see Chris say what he said, because I could have swore Chris told me he's going to be picking this up one day. So very shocking. Very shocking. Yes.
Let us also not forget to mention the $1,495 watch.
Oh, Jesus. They're really going after the whales with this one.
Yeah, I do have to call Kojima out on a lot of that stuff.
Uh-oh.
You know, where it's like these really expensive sunglasses, these really expensive accessories and limited edition jackets. I'm like, people aren't fucking rich, dude. Like, give something to people that they don't need to fucking feed their arms and legs with.
Yeah, they're going after the fucking whales. That's all it is.
Yeah, like, you know, there was one where you could buy the glasses he's got in the game. That shit was like 200 or more. They had a whole line of glasses with JF Ray that were expensive too. It's like all this designer stuff. I'm like, who do you think's buying this stuff? A bunch of rich people?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. A bunch of dumb rich people.
I don't know, man. Like, I think he needs to start offering some more medium, priced offerings that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
As opposed to these big whale items.
Yeah. What's up, Rich?
So I just have a question, because as Manny was talking, I just thought of something. So how much of this of the sales from this is funding his next game? Because that's what my assumption is.
Well, that's some. That's a lot of the. I mean, that's the. That was a lot of his design in the previous with the previous Death Stranding. All the little merchandises and things that he would sell on his site. Like you bought, they had a special set that you could only buy on his site that had like a tumbler and a couple of pins and a letter from him and all this other stuff. Like pretty much a collector's edition on its own, right? And that that wasn't too expensive, but it's like. I think that's what he's essentially leveraging. He's using putting out these little products that, and, with this logo and all that stuff, and hoping that will help him assist him in essentially funding the future projects.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff there. All right. Next question. Very interesting question, Rich. this is actually related to me, you, and Adam, but he's not here. He goes, would Tony, Richard, Bailey Jr., or Adam want a review code for GTA 6? It's not really a matter of want. We will be getting that code. We are, let's just be honest, Rockstar, we all have individual good relationships with Rockstar. They're going to be sending us that game, so it's not a matter of want, which is a good thing. The question is, will we be reviewing it? You already know we are, This is going to be the biggest game of the year if it comes out this year. And we are not going to pass that up, obviously. But again, we've known Rockstar for over a decade, maybe a little longer, over a decade. So that shit is guaranteed, bro. What do you say, Rich?
Oh, no, I agree 100% with everything you said. Yes, we are going to be reviewing the game. We don't have to ask about the code. We know that we will get the access to that code. So, yeah. But I do want to make one comment. We'll see if this game is coming out this year, because I don't have a lot of faith that it is coming out this year, because Rockstar has been very silent. So we'll see if that changes once we start get to the middle point of the year, if they actually have something to say before the summertime.
Yeah, I agree with that, because every GTA game has been delayed. I don't expect this one to be different. It could, maybe it could happen. Who knows? I know sometimes you don't like reviewing games you really want to play. No, we want to play this one. This is GTA 6, man, but J-Shep, I'm glad you bring this up, because to your point, I have had a review code for Assassin's Creed Shadows for over a week. I haven't touched it. I don't want to play it. Richard's going to have us covered on that end for Throwdown, but GTA 6, even though I have my concerns, I want to play it. I want to play it myself. The question will be, obviously, and this goes for both me and Rich, will we get the review code in time? Because even though Rockstar is very generous with review codes, they're not very good about timing, go ahead.
We can answer that right now. Absolutely not. absolutely not. We'll probably get it like very close to launch, because I recall when we got sent Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, granted, when we got it, that was a very nice care package they sent to people who were reviewing the game.
I got that too.
So I give them a shout out. But no, I don't think we're going to get this game early, but I'll be surprised. Maybe that could change. It all depends.
Yeah, and our homie Lewis isn't there anymore, so I don't know who we got to talk to now, but we'll definitely be getting the game. We probably won't even need to. I mean, obviously we're professional. We're going to be in touch with Rockstar, but I'm just being honest right now. Me and Richard are very well known in the industry. We don't have to ask. We're going to be sent the code, so that's not even a problem. And I'll tell you this again, Rockstar, I'll give them a shout out. Even if they only send us the code a day before, they will hook it up. Even when I was at SGFMPlay was not that big of a site. Rockstar still sent us the code. They still sent us, granted it was launch day, but they still sent the code, and they were very appreciative that I reached out to them. They didn't give a fuck that the site was small. They're like, okay, go ahead. Shout out to Rockstar, man. All right. Okay, so Rich, this one's specifically for you, but he says any one of us can answer, so you go first. Question for RBJ. What game do you consider... Oh, this is interesting. What game do you consider a masterpiece?
Oh, man. That masterpiece word is very interesting terminology. That's a little tough. There are some games I consider to be absolutely fantastic. I'm going to use an example because, you know, anytime I think about this game, it may be a bit of a cop-out answer, but it really, I have to highlight and explain why that is. Mass Effect 2.
Oh, shit. Right?
Because the storytelling, and again, when I go back to that mission, at the end of that final mission in that game where you have to have different characters do certain things in order to achieve success, and they can fail, and then that will be the whole mission goes up in smoke. So I mean, obviously with Mass Effect 3, there were some issues with the ending that they had to correct. We know about that history of what happened with EA, but Mass Effect 2 to me is still at the very top of the list because it was like the perfect balance. I know Mass Effect 1, I did enjoy that game, although Mass Effect 2, they made a couple of different changes. But to answer the question, would I consider a masterpiece? Excellent gameplay. I think that the storytelling is important, depending on what the game is. And then obviously the controls, the sound, the score, all of that stuff is important to really make it stand out. But yeah, Mass Effect 2, I would say for sure, for me personally, that's still at the very top of my list. There's some other games on there, but I think this is right at the top still.
Yeah. Sir Never goes, honorable mention, Concord.
No. Now, that will be, if I have ever have a list of games that I will never play, that will be at the top of the list. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go down the line here. Yeah, this is a tough one, obviously. You know, if you guys know me, you know I don't give, you know, 5 out of 5s, 10 out of 10s, because there's always something wrong with something, you know. But if you have heard the show, I have actually given 2 specific games that distinguished a title of perfect 10 out of 10 game. And I wish Tumeke was here right now because both of those games are Super Nintendo games. The first one, Super Mario World. That is absolute perfection. You know, every level is its own thing. Things build up. There's, you know, the gameplay is obviously super intuitive. You know, even though the instruction manual was lovely for that, you could just play it, learn all the mechanics. There's so many hidden things, like getting 100%. Like, it takes a long time. And again, I love how no 2 levels are the same. There's so many levels in that game, but they're all distinct from one another. You know, and then the way things just gradually build up as you keep going through the world, things just open up. You open up more pathways. You know, you go into the levels, you find more secrets and shit, and it just opens up. Takes great advantage of the hardware as well. Fantastic soundtrack. Like that's a 10 out of 10 game. And honorable mention to the other 10 out of 10 game, Super Metroid, bro. That's another one. Exceptional level design, graphics, music, presentation, difficulty, just like it's difficult making games like that because obviously as you get more complicated games, there's so many things that could go wrong. But, you know, those kind of games had that sweet spot of being simple, but like just not too much thrown at you, you know. So that's I would consider those 2 masterpieces, Super Mario World and Super Metroid. Maine, I'll go to you last. I know you're eating right now. Unless you want to go.
No, you can go to me last. I gotta think of something.
Yeah, all right. Chris, masterpiece.
I have a few that come to mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So I never played it on N64 when I had it because I sold my N64 to get a Dreamcast. But Ocarina of Time, fantastic. Ooh. And I think it's Zelda's not an RPG. It's kind of like adventure plus game.
Yeah.
Because you have item management of levels. But the story was fantastic. The whole thing with going between periods and stuff. The story. I'm not like a big Zelda guy. I haven't played all of them, right? But I played that one. I was like, that game was fantastic. I didn't even play Majora's Mask. I know that like, the follow-up, I know a lot of people like it. But Ocarina of Time, fantastic game. Another one I think was a masterpiece just because the story was so good. I love it is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, hell yeah. That's another one. Absolutely.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, the storytelling, top-notch. Like, top-tier, amazing fucking story. Amazing world, everything. So that, to me, personally, that's I would consider a masterpiece.
Yeah, Jay Shep's fucking with me. He goes, I'll answer for Tony, The Last of Us 2. To quote Richard, oh, hell no. Yeah. Fuck
that's
that.
That's like saying my favorite Star Trek series is like Star Trek Discovery. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. No, absolutely not. Fucking The Last of Us 2 made me dislike Naughty Dog, bro. So take that how you will. I was going to say something else, but I know I know Mr. Druckmann has fans, so I'll stop. I don't want to upset anyone. right, Manny. Go ahead, Chris, if you got another one. Manny's still eating.
Another one? I have to say, I have owned like 6 versions of Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4
yes,
to me is
yes,
like
absolutely.
Fucking
yeah.
Masterpiece game. I'm talking about the original one. I did love the remake, but I like the OG Resident Evil 4. Fucking fantastic. Horror, action, it combined all these things, and it did it so goddamn well, right? That I have like a, you know, Wii version, a, you know, PS2, GameCube. I bought it on PS3 store, I bought it on 360. I don't even remember how many versions of that. I had one version that was, I know they got rid of it on the iPhone, the one where you had to like use the gyroscope and play it. I played that shit on the subway. Game was so freaking amazing.
Yeah, no, I want, again, you know, if you've been hearing Throwdown all this time, when they announced Resident Evil 4 remake, I was very much against it because I said that's a perfect game. Like Resident Evil 4, the original. And just to prove a point that I'm not just saying all this stuff that I want things to fail, I was very happy I was wrong about Resident Evil 4 remake. It is fantastic. Great game. But the original, bro, the original is something else. That game, for you guys who don't know, redefined third-person shooters. That whole camera behind the shoulder kind of angle, that's the game that established that. Every game took that shit. Because if you played third-person shooting games before that, you could tell the camera angles were all over the place. People didn't know where to place the camera exactly. This one was like over the shoulder. We're only going to show you like the top torso and shit. Everybody started doing that shit afterwards. You know, as a matter of fact, even Cliff Bleszinski, when he was making Gears of War, the original, he's like, that game's a big inspiration, Resident Evil 4, you know, like fantastic game. All right, Manny, what do you have?
Perfect games, huh?
No, not perfect, masterpiece.
Oh, masterpiece.
Yeah, masterpiece.
Isn't that a masterpiece for a perfect?
It could be, you know, to some people, it doesn't have to be, you know, but, you know, maybe to you it is.
I definitely will agree with you on the Super Mario World. It has all of the things for it. It's like, it feels like a general like upgrade over all the previous games,
yes.
You know, where it not only, you know, it still had those incorporated those things from the previous ones, but you know, definitely felt like a jump in fidelity and a jump in like, you know, stuff. And it was like, I always say, you have that showcase. That thing was a launch title.
Yep. Remember all that mode 7 stuff that was going on in there too? It was really good showcase. Yes.
All the bells and whistles that the Nintendo Super Nintendo were about and had in going for it, it was all in that game. Definitely that one. The second one, I would have to go with. You know what? Let's go with what's coming out this year. Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh yes, another one.
My ultimate favorite of the games is the original, but that in no way is a perfect game. It's very flawed. It's got a lot of issues. I love it, but you know, even, you know, ugliness and all. So, but I would say, 3 is probably the one that is, you know, distills what a Metal Gear game is, but also, you know, brings it into a new place where it's, you have light survival things in it, which I remember even at the time I was like, oh, survival, what is this? You have wounds, you gotta tape them up and stuff like that, and you have to make sure you eat to keep your stamina up. They're very light sort of things, but a very good game. And also, it doesn't have the baggage of the Metal Gear franchise. Because canonically, it is essentially the pretty much the first Metal Gear game, right?
Yeah.
So You're introducing characters. You're introducing. You still have a bunch of new characters. You don't have that weight from the past. But if you do know about those things, it does make the experience very interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Jay Shep says, the original Final Fantasy VII, he would consider a masterpiece. I would agree with that. That's a groundbreaking game. That's the other thing that's kind of been unsaid about a quote unquote masterpiece that kind of has to change the industry, basically, you know. And Resident Evil 4 did that. Final Fantasy VII did that. Metal Gear did that, you know. That's kind of like an unspoken rule, you know. All right, good answers there.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
I would agree.
The original, absolutely. All right, and the last question of the night, and this one will be a simple one. I'll just spoil it right now. The answer is no, and I'm answering for the entire cast. Did any of you guys get an RTX 5090 graphics card? No, none of us, and none of us are going to get it either, you know?
I mean, my girlfriend attempted to get the one lower than that.
Yeah, the 4090, yeah.
4090 didn't work.
Yeah, but nope, did get. I'm probably not going to get a 5090 because a lot of not to get into graphics card talk, but a lot of the updates are really more about the software rather than the hardware. It's really more about, like, you know, frame generation, DLSS and stuff like that. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not against DLSS. I actually think it's a great feature, but that's what they're really touting. It's like, you know, when they make these boasts like, oh, this card is as powerful as this one. It's like, no, it's not. It's only because of frame generation, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, I'll probably skip this generation too. I may get a 4090 though. Maybe go back. Those are still available. Serena, for a throwdown crew, would you like cross play between consoles and leave PC players alone? Just your take. No, I mean, if you're playing a game, I know where this is coming from because, you know, if you're playing a cross play game, with PC players, there is a chance that these guys may be using some hacks or some crazy shit. But the thing is, it's not really an issue because you could disable that in most games. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, I haven't played a crossplay game where I can't disable that. I could do it in everything where you could basically toggle it, like, you know, make crossplay across the board or only play with your own people, you know? What's up, Fred? So if you are worried about playing with PC players, go into the settings of whatever game you're playing to cross play and set it to, you know, I'm just going to be honest, it's PlayStation for you guys. Set it to PlayStation only and you're set, you know. I wish PlayStation versus Xbox players only. Yeah, they don't have that option. It's either full cross play or cross play within your own ecosystem. Because, yeah, it would be cool if you could toggle it. But you notice this, though, in the consoles, they never say the name of the platform. You know, they may have the logo there, but they never say the name of the console, the platform. But it would be cool if you could go in there and be like, I only want to play with PlayStation and Xbox guys. That would be cool. But no, it's just like, no, you got to play with everybody. So you can only either, it's kind of like with like peripherals or, you know, headsets specifically. Basically, you could either play with your console or PC or just your console, but not across the board for everything. Like this headset right here, the Razer Barracuda Pro, compatible with PlayStation and PC, no Xbox. But if you get the Xbox version, not compatible with PS5s, you know? It's kind of weird how that works, but yeah, it would be nice if we could just toggle that together. But it, you know, again, if you're worried, you're going to have to make a compromise. Do you want to play with cheaters or do you only want to play with your own people? You know, if you're worried about cheaters, just play with your own people, you know, or your own ecosystem, I should say. The new Astro A56X is compatible with PS5 and Xbox. Yeah, there's exceptions, obviously, but generally speaking, they don't do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if that headset is very expensive because the reason that doesn't happen a lot is because of licensing. It costs a lot of money, you know? That's why they only license it to one platform and then PC. But yeah, there's exceptions, obviously. You just got to pay a little more, you know? I heard if you run 4 5090s and SLI, you can see VR without a headset. Oh, man. Shout out to Barry Burton, man. All right. Good stuff. And that's going to pretty much do it for us. Another show in the bank. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so just a few quick things to mention. Myself, Tony, Chris, Dana, and Carlos, we recorded the Invincible podcast season 3 finale. Number one, that is a phenomenal show. You need to watch that show if you haven't been watching the show, and you need to check out our review, because I definitely want to hear what people have to say. A lot of people have been excited, which is great. They told me in private they thought it was amazing, so I'm telling you guys, that's great. Now leave comments and let us know this, that you thought it was great on the actual video.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll be awesome. Adam is continuously working on the Reacher series, so if you have been enjoying the Talking Reacher show, stay tuned for that. They will have a review coming up later this week. Myself, Dana, and Gary, we have been covering Power, so stay tuned for that. We will be continuing to cover that show. And on the gaming side, a few things to mention. Adam completed his review for WWE 2K25. You can look for that on the website tomorrow, because I'm actually editing that right now. I have been playing Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Oh, boy.
That review will be out sometime this week. And on another side note, I'm actually going to GDC tomorrow. I'm going to be seeing a couple of things, so I will be back in the future to talk about that experience in terms of what I see and play out there in San Francisco. But, yeah, stay tuned, because it's a very busy time of the year. There are a lot of games dropping. We're going to definitely have some things to say about a lot of these games, so make sure you stay tuned to thecoalition.com.
All right. Lots of good stuff coming. And yeah, like Rich said, check out the Invincible podcast. Check out the show. And also, if you missed it, check out our Monster Hunter streams. We may come back next week. We'll see, because, you know, the timing hasn't worked out as well this time around when it comes to streams. But if we do it, we may do it Saturday. It seems like that's when everybody's available. We had a really good time on Saturday. You know, and you know, your boy Reggie joined us, Rich, and that was very interesting. So, yeah, Reggie's a character. So, yeah, if we don't stream Friday, we probably do it Saturday. If we get enough heads, it'll be fun. And I think I figured out why the stream was fucking up, because it kept freezing. Apparently, I have to turn off 120 hertz mode in PlayStation. So I'll do that. Hopefully, that'll fix things, you know, but having fun with the game, man. Go play Monster Hunter, bro. It's good stuff. Manny, want to plug your thing while your camera's still looking good?
Let's see if it works. All right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 7 is out on the streets with Donatello on the cover. It's a series of covers that me and Kari have done. So this month you will be seeing, if it's not already, Leonardo. Leonardo will be coming soon. And then also, not to mention, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Cross Naruto, which is out now. That'll be out on the 26th with a retailer exclusive cover by Kari Randolph and myself. So we have a lot of turtles coming in the next few months.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, I like how the camera fucked up after you put the comic down. So we got a good shot of it this time. Finally.
All right, good.
Finally happened.
There you go.
Yeah, now you're looking all blah. You know, you're looking all messed up, but we got that shot. We got the shot. And yeah, I think that's going to do it for us, man. Good stuff. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord, and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Laters.